What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Anna Horford, and you're listening to the Celtics Life podcast.
Welcome inside the Celtics Life podcast. I'm Josh Coyne, and I'm joined by the social media powerhouse of the Boston sports community. It's Anna Horford. Anna, where are you joining me from?
Hey, I'm joining you from Michigan.
Right across the Atlantic Ocean. Spoken before when I wrote about your family for Celtics Life, so it's really great that you could join us again. We're here to talk about a myriad of topics, so we should get going and talk about Celtics basketball. This is your second season as part of the Celtics fan base. I want you to discuss the difference between Boston sports fans and others that you've experienced.
Yeah, so basically just the pride and tradition in Boston is unmatched, I feel like, by any other franchise. And I just feel like no other franchise has a history like Boston's. And you know, they're extremely loyal and diehard fans. And so that, you know, that makes a huge difference in comparison to, for example, Al was in Atlanta. And back in Atlanta, you know, people are just a little bit more chill about sports in general. And they're not as dedicated necessarily. And I think you could tell based on like us going to Atlanta earlier this season, it seemed like there were more Celtics fans than Hawks fans when we played them at, in Atlanta. So that's another thing. And I feel like their franchise is kind of on the come up still, but Boston is just so deeply rooted. And they just have this tradition of winning. So I think that's really cool.
What you just mentioned there about the transplants in the opposite team's arena, that happened last night in Brooklyn as well. That's something you see quite often, isn't it, with Celtics fans?
Yeah, it's kind of fun, actually, because even going to the Detroit games, Detroit's about an hour from where I'm at. There are lots of Celtics fans there as well. So it's just kind of like a huge takeover. I mean, I think every single state has a good number of Celtics fans. I think that speaks a lot to the franchise.
Certainly does. And the passion you spoke about before, that can work in both ways also. So whilst they're passionate when it's all going well, when it isn't going so well, have you noticed that they could be pretty hard on the players?
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of funny to me because I just feel like if you're an educated sports fan, you are a little bit more like mild tempered about things. And, you know, if we're losing in the first half, you know better than to give up on our team. I mean, clearly we're a second half team. And so just kind of like the intensity and like how people just like, you know, cause they want the Celtics to win so bad. They want them to play perfectly every game. So they put so much pressure. And if they're not performing, then, you know, a lot of people get turned off by that. But I mean, they're all are the people too who will stick with the team through and through. And so yeah, you get a little bit of both.
Eventually, you just have to start becoming selective about who you actually converse with, because you realize that only half of sports fans actually use logic.
Right.
and once you realize that, you can start to kind of call the people that you actually speak to about sports. But so moving into the actual team, there was a large roster overhaul over the summer. A lot of emotional goodbyes, I'm sure, but it seems to be paying off after the start to the season that we've enjoyed, with a current 13-game win streak. Obviously, is not bad. But what are your thoughts on this run?
I'm really excited about it. I feel like all the guys are really clicking and, you know, they're gelling. I feel like they've got really great chemistry already. And I think they all complement each other really well. I think that they all want to win, and they're kind of looking at the bigger picture versus individual success. And I think that's huge. And that's, you know, that's what winning teams are made of. So I'm excited to see what we do.
From what you gather from speaking to Al, does there seem to be a kind of air of excitement in Boston with the win streak?
Yeah, I think he's really excited. I'm going to be in Boston next weekend again, so I'm sure I'll be able to talk to him about it a bit. But he's so stoked on all his teammates. He was really excited to, you know, play with Baines and Kyrie and even Morris and the young guys too. And I think that they all just balance out each other really well. And so, yeah, he's super stoked to see what they do this season too.
And that run, it may be, well, it quite clearly is about to face its biggest challenge with the Warriors up next. Do you think this streak can continue after this game?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're coming... they're coming to our turf and I think that, you know, we've got a lot of momentum behind us right now and I'm never not going to believe in our team. I'm just not that kind of person. I'd rather just be positive and just see, you know, just see how it goes when we get there. I think that a lot of the time people play up to their competition as well. So yeah. I think that the guys know that and they'll get in the right mindset, and that will definitely give the Warriors a run for their money.
Well, that's actually been the case with the Celtics over the last couple of years. And I know it's a completely different squad, but, you know, some of the factors that you've already talked about, I mean, the passion in the arena, things like that, it might galvanize the team in the way that it has done over recent years, when they've actually had a slightly worse in terms of natural quality playing team. So, you know, let's cross our fingers. But talking about Al's individual performance so far this season, he's looked very aggressive. He's really looking for his own shot quite often. Have you noticed anything different in your brother this year?
I think that Al's level of playing is just, I think he's kind of, I know I've said this before, just kind of rolling off the playoffs last season. And I think he just really trusts who he's playing with. I think he's really comfortable. And I know people are kind of like, yeah, well, Kyrie's making Al better. Al's making Kyrie better. Like, or they'll say one or the other. I think that it's both. I think that, you know, they've already got really great chemistry, and not just that. I think the younger guys really look up to Al, and they know they can trust him when they want, you know, him to make a play. So I think that that's huge for the team too. So yeah, I think that he has stepped up, but in large part to just who is surrounding him as well. And it's helping everyone on offense.
Yeah, he certainly seems to be finding it a really fitting opportunity to be a leader in the team, because he certainly does look to be that. But let's discuss, as you've already mentioned, the fit amongst his new teammates and how they help him, how he helps them. As you've mentioned, he works incredibly well with Kyrie. He's kind of the prototype forward for someone like Kyrie to play alongside. So with the way he shares the ball, what are your thoughts on the way Kyrie has been able to make an immediate impact in these first few games? And do you think he can sustain it with that partnership with Al? Do you think it's just going to get better?
Oh, absolutely. I think that, I mean, it's huge that they already are playing this well together. I can't wait to see where they're at come, you know, February and March. And I think our whole team chemistry is going to get better. And And, you know, you learn about your teammates and what works and whatnot. And you try to perfect that and you try to capitalize on it. So I think that's what we're going to do. And I'm really excited.
He's creating so much space for Kyrie. They work brilliantly together. But I think another factor for Al is the improved bigs. Well, at least the improved physicality of bigs. So Baines, who you've mentioned before, and Daniel Theis, they take a lot of the physical workload, it seems, away from Al and free him up to play his game a little bit more inside and do the majority of the banging. Do you feel that he's been freed up by the presence of some more traditionally physical big guys?
Yeah, definitely. I know he was really excited when the Celtics were going after Baines. Cause I think he knew, you know, how much he could help the team with rebounding and with just having that dominating presence. I mean, the dude is just, people just bounce right off of him. I think I tweeted that last night. And, I think that really frees Al up to be able to do his job the best that he can do. And then in turn, that helps Kyrie and et cetera. So I think everyone just complements each other really, really well.
In relation to the young guys, are you as optimistic as many about the Brown and Tatum wing combo and how bright their future seems to be? I mean, totally. That's obviously making a very bright future for the organization in their hands.
Yeah, totally. I think they're so impressive. Tatum looks like he's been in the league for a few seasons, which I think is funny. He just keeps his composure and he just seems so mature for his age, and he's so talented. And I think he and Jaylen have fun together, and I think that helps. You know, you can have fun and have that kind of dynamic with each other. And so, I'm impressed by both of them, and I really, really think that they're going to step up big for us, especially in Gordon's absence, which is what we need. So, I'm very optimistic about the two of them as well.
Yeah, they really couldn't have forecasted Tatum being this far ahead of schedule. His footwork, his touch, the comparisons of Paul Pierce are actually irresistible. I know everyone keeps doing it, but he really does have an old man's game. He's an absolute joy to watch so far. But as you've mentioned, there is a significant lack of Gordon Hayward. Obviously, their opportunity to establish themselves, it's come from horrific circumstances with the injury of Gordon. Talk us through your thought process when Gordon went down and how seriously you expected it to affect the season.
Well, when it happened, I think obviously it was a shock for everybody. And then you kind of have to look at our team, look at our roster, and just kind of readjust things in your mind. And the guys, you know, had to definitely readjust their entire game plan, essentially. I mean, I knew that it would definitely impact us. We're definitely feeling the loss. But at the same time, I think it gave room to other guys like Tatum and Jaylen to really step up and kind of show their worth. And in that, they're finding themselves. And I think, you know, that's extremely beneficial to the team. So out of something horrible came something really good, too.
Has anything that horrific happened on the court for a big game that Al's played in before?
Ugh, not that. Thank God, not that Al's played in. I mean, he had those two detached pectoral muscle injuries, which obviously were very painful for him. But to the sight, you couldn't tell what was going on. You know, it's not like anything was dislocated or sticking out or anything like that, even though I'm sure it felt that way. No, the last injury I can remember like that is I was in Atlanta with Al and we were watching the NCAA tournament, and our brother who was playing for Michigan, they ended up going to the national championship that year and they played Louisville, and a guy named Kevin Ware. His leg and his bone just completely stuck out, and his foot went limp, and you know, that was the last time. And I was with Al when that happened, and he was just like, I really wish that I hadn't seen that. Like, it really messes up guys mentally. It really does.
That's the main reason I asked, because for me, it's absolutely remarkable that I play basketball recreationally. And when I saw Kevin Ware's injury, and then when I saw Gordon Hayward's injury, it really makes you like, think twice about stepping on the court days after. But these guys are literally seeing it happen, and it's their friend, it's their teammate, it's their colleague, and then they're carrying on minutes later. Do you think that, that's like superhuman character? Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think you have to give the guys a lot of credit just because they saw Gordon go down in such a horrific way. There's actually a picture of Al standing, like watching with his hands on his head, just kind of like in shock. And you have to give them credit for, you know, they played 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, whatever it was, you know, like, and Cleveland only beat us by three. So the just mental capacity and maturity that you have to have for that is just, I mean, it's insane. So I think it's awesome what our guys did, and they went out and, you know, we almost won that game. So, but I think it does kind of haunt you a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that character, some of that character was shown by Tatum, who's 19, and Jaylen Brown, who's just turned 21. I mean, it really is quite remarkable, but let's move on. So let's touch on those that questioned Al's contract last year. Do you feel that a fair amount of people will be eating their words on this one? I mean, due to the way he's come out at the start of the year, certain members of the media, fans online have been quite vocal about his contract because it is, you know, a well-paid contract. What are your thoughts on how they would probably be feeling right now?
I mean, I definitely think they're already eating their words for the most part. I mean, Al's just kind of shown how valuable he is to the team. And so him coming out this year after having a really great playoff run, I think people are starting to realize, oh, wait, you know, Danny Ainge and Brad Stevens knew what they were doing by giving him this contract. Mm-hmm. And it's a new NBA. So valuable players are going to get their money. And mm-hmm. I think Al's definitely proven how valuable he is. I mean, if he's not out there, the offense, you know, doesn't run the same way. And they run a lot of the offense through him, just like in general. And the way he's just kind of just not selfish. And I think that really helps. And I think people definitely probably feel a little dumb for being so hard on him. But I think it was also hard because he had that concussion early on. And he's learning a new system. And then after that, just kind of trying to get acclimated back into playing. He missed some, like, I think it was like 10 games, you know. So coming in, having that happen and trying to adjust to this new team, I think was a big challenge for him. But this year, you can tell he's a lot more comfortable and he really trusts the guys he's playing with. So yeah.
And as you mentioned about the concussion, Al missed some action last week due to concussion protocol after a knock from Kent Bazemore. Last year, you were pretty straightforward in your response to those who didn't understand the weight of the situation. And actually, people also criticized him for missing the birth of his child. So what can you do? But do you think it speaks for the fickle world of sports, how people overreact to that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think that it's such a selfish mindset for people to have, and they don't realize it. And I think sometimes they forget that athletes are humans with emotions and with families, and they need their time too. Their body is, you know, everything. So to jeopardize that, in order to be able to go on the court and entertain you, like, it's almost like people are like, how dare you sit out and take care of your body? You're here to entertain me. And I just think that that entitlement is something that people really need to kind of pay attention to and learn from and kind of realize how ridiculous they sound.
Yeah. I mean, it's not Roman blood sports, you know, it's right. Kind of a barbaric attitude. Let's talk about your voice on Twitter. So, you know, how have you found it becoming a significant voice in the Celtics community? For example, today it seems like you came across several bigoted morons. is it days like today that show you the challenges of that, and what are the positives of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard to deal with trolls and just kind of ignorant jerks. Just in general, But when it's like people like over and over and over again coming at you about different things, it does weigh on you to an extent. A lot of it I'm very numb to. So, you know, girls and in the sports world or just in general, really will, you know, guys, you know, get called, you know, whores and things like that. And I get that all the time. And that bounces right off me. Like I could not care less, what you think. Jacob jacking off in your mom's basement, you know, like I really don't care. So yeah, it's hard, on those kinds of days when it's just all negative and it's kind of draining. But at the same time, I've met a lot of really cool people and I've connected with a lot of people. And so I think that's really cool too. And just being able to kind of have a voice and I'm just, I don't know, trying to bring positivity to the table as much as I can. And just trying to, I'm a very liberal person. So I try to incorporate, you know, how I feel about the LGBTQ community and minorities, women, all these different things. I try to talk about, it's not just sports. Because at the end of the day, you know, there are much more important things out there. So yeah, it's good and bad.
Well, one of those issues recently has been, I mean, as you can hear, any listeners and yourself would know that this is a British accent. So I'm speaking to you from the United Kingdom. And from the United Kingdom, when we look over at everything that happens with guns over there, we share so many similarities with you as a culture, but one of them is not that. To us, it's absolutely dumbfounding that you can't find a way to control guns. I'm going to give you a little kind of opportunity to express your feelings as to where you sit on gun control, because it's such a hot button topic and you've been expressing your opinion a little bit on Twitter. But where do you feel the country's at? And explain to me how it's not under control at this point.
Yeah, I feel like we're in a really bad place right now. Just so many horrible incidents that are reoccurring. And there was just a shooting in California at an elementary school, and it barely made the news. I feel like because it's becoming so frequent, and even Donald Trump had copied and pasted a tweet from Sutherland Springs in Texas, which was the shooting that happened, I believe it was last week. And he accidentally tweeted about it today, probably not realizing he didn't change the name of the city to the one in California. So I feel like you can really tell how frequent it is just by that. And I am pro-gun to an extent. I believe if you feel like you need to have a handgun maybe locked away in your house or something for protection, I'm all for that. And I've got hunters in my family, you know, and they hunt deer and things like that. And so yeah, if you want to have a rifle or a shotgun, I don't think anyone needs an automatic weapon that can just shoot like hundreds of rounds. And I think that it definitely needs to be regulated. I think that we need to really focus on mental health and doing more screenings and background checks. And there's just a lot more we can do that we're not doing because of the Republican Party, because of the NRA, who, you know, fully supports Trump. So Trump can't, and I shouldn't say can't, he just won't come out and condemn them and what they're saying and what, you know, they're pushing, because he's gotten money from them. So, so at the end of the day, money means more to him than the lives of Americans. And I think that's really sad. And that's the opposite of what the president of the United States should stand for.
Yeah. The guy's a complete infant. I mean, the way he was looking for praise in relation to the LiAngelo Ball and his teammates is unbelievable.
Yeah. You know, yep.
If you told us 4 years ago that the president of the United States would be tweeting that, then you just wouldn't have believed it. But anyway, away from such deep subjects, on behalf of the guys at Celtics Life, by the way, I know a lot of the team wanted to say thanks for bringing some light on some social justice issues, as we've mentioned. So the more liberal among mm-hmm. the fan base, they certainly appreciate it. Moving on, your trips to Boston, when you come down to watch a game. Oh, when were you last down, by the way?
I was down a few weeks ago. It was, I think, like three weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. And then I'll be there next weekend as well.
And how do you find the city's nightlife?
It's fun. It's fun. I've only been out a few times just because a lot of the time when we're in Boston, depending on the length of the trip, it's like major family time just because we don't get to see Al that much during the season. And I have to see my niece and nephew because I'm obsessed with them. So so a lot of it's family time, but the nightlife is fun in Boston. Went to a few places last time we were there, and it's been really cool. And I love the city in general. I mean, it's so historic and beautiful. I will not drive in Boston because people are absolutely insane. But as far as going and experiencing things, it's been really fun.
And yeah, so what would you say your favorite area of Boston was? I stayed in the North End and stayed in Alston for a few weeks in the past and really enjoyed both of them. But what's your favorite area of Boston?
That's a good question. I don't know Boston well enough to be like, oh yeah, I loved, you know, this mm-hmm. area. Usually it's like I'm not even driving. We're either like taking like Ubers or Lyfts somewhere, or you know, we have a car service or whatever. So I'm not like really paying attention. So I've been to some really great places. I mean, we did like a shootout out on the beach for Al and his wife and his kids, and that was really fun. I'm trying to remember the name of the the bars we went to, but I was a little intoxicated, so I can't even recall.
The strip in the North End, there's a strip in the North End right by the arena, and there's a couple okay. of good bars there. Yeah,
so I've been around the arena, obviously, to a few different places, and so yeah.
What about food? Have you been to any good food places that you can note?
Yeah, absolutely. I had just tweeted about it when I was there, and totally blanking on the name. It was this little Italian place, and it was like the best Italian food I've ever had in my entire life. And Al loves going there because it's like really small and like kind of remote. And so like it's kind of low key, so you can just like walk in real quick and sit down and like kind of not be bothered by people. And I'm really sad I can't remember the name because it was delicious. I've talked about this. My sister loves, it's called In a Pickle for breakfast.
Okay.
Right. And it's a good breakfast spot. I've shouted them out a few times. They're pretty good.
I'm sure you can just tweet the Italian place if you want to big it up. But the there's a couple of really good spots in the North End that I enjoyed on my trip. Anyway, we need to stop waffling on about food now. So I'm going to wrap it up. I'll let you get on with your evening now, Anna. I really appreciate you talking to us. It's been really great.
Yeah, thanks so much.
And thank you very much to the listeners of the Celtics Life podcast. Check out the links at the top of celticslife.com. We have a huge variety of shirts and hoodies in our store, and you can even get tickets to the next game under that heading. You can find the pod on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, Stitcher, and most podcatcher apps. Make sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, because you would never want to miss an episode. And if you like what you hear, be sure to rate us 5 stars. If you don't like something or have a suggestion, make sure to let us know with a comment on any Celtics Life article, even if that comment is, get this British guy off of the website. Why is he talking about basketball? That's not their sport. Or on Twitter with the hashtag CLPod. We're always trying to bring you the Celtics coverage you want, the way you want it. So, Anna, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy 2, get 2 free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.